Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Mark Allison on Harold Camping's prediction of Christ's return in 2011.
You have over and over and over again here at the end of Matthew 24, then a few more statements in Matthew 25, saying that no man can know the day and the hour, and that we need to be ready for his coming at any moment. And for a man then to turn around and say, well, I know the day and the hour. Well, your listening audience has to then make a choice. Either they're going to believe what Jesus Christ has said, or they're going to believe what Harold Camping is saying.
Stay with us for a discussion with Mark Allison. The San Francisco Chronicle said Family Radio President Harold Camping let out a hearty chuckle regarding people who think the world will end in 2012. He said that date has no biblical authority. However, Mr. Camping says the real date for the end of the world is 2011. Dr. Mark Allison is very concerned about Harold Camping's teaching, as you'll hear. Dr. Allison pastors Free Presbyterian Church in Malvern, Pennsylvania, and has analyzed and spoken about Harold Camping's theology for a number of years. Dr. Allison, who is Harold Camping, and what is Family Radio?
Harold Camping was a businessman turned radio personality from California. He'd made enough money in a construction company. He was able to quit that and then start a radio broadcast after the radio station, which he later would name Family Radio. Now, he's up in the Oakland area, but his station goes throughout California, Arizona, and he's also out here in the east where we are, Philadelphia, New York, New Jersey, and some down in Florida. And then through the internet and through shortwave radio, he's really reaching all over the world. The organization Family Radio had a vice president in it who was a member of our church until year 2000. And so there was quite a connection between Harold Camping's ministry and our ministry in those days as far as visitors and people coming into our congregation through Family Radio. But in recent days, things have changed as to what is believed by Family Radio, and that's why we have been doing some teaching and preaching and warning people about the errors of Harold Camping.
And Family Radio is not new, right? It's been around for about, 50 years or so?
Pretty close to that, about 50 years. And Harold Camping himself now is an old man. He must be close to 90. So he has been on the radio since his 20s, I think.
Your teaching was at one time on Family Radio as well, right, up until about a decade or so ago?
That's right. We were a part of Family Radio. I am the second pastor here in this particular location of our church. The first pastor had a daily broadcast on Family Radio, and then when I came, I was part of the what they called the Gospel Echoes program that they would put on late in the evening. They would feature different preachers, and I would be one of those that were featured.
Now, Harold Camping is widely known for a number of unusual positions that he's taken in recent years. Which ones concern you the most?
Well, the one that's getting the most play right now has to do with his view that Christ is coming back May the 21st, 2011. That is the one that people hear about first because it's setting a date for Christ's return. But the most important issues, really, or more important issues, are some of the things that he's saying about the church and what has happened to the church, and those things border on heresy if they're not heretical.
Can you give us an example?
Well, he says that the church has been given over to Satan. In his prophetic calendar, he believed that in 1988, the harvest had come to an end, and that the church, which had been the main means of harvesting souls, was at that point given over to Satan. So since 1988, according to Harold Camping, nobody has been saved in the church. The pastors have really lost their power. And if you think that you're actually hearing the Spirit speak through your pastor, you're being deceived. That's the devil speaking to you. Because there are no pastors anymore, he believes that you do not do the Lord's table and you do not have baptism in the church. And so in saying those things, if he is right, then obviously his conclusion is you must leave the church and form a fellowship. and be with people outside the church and never go into the church again. If he's wrong, then he's teaching God's people to sin against the Lord in a very wicked manner. And obviously he is wrong. The scripture is quite clear that there's not coming an end to the church age. The other thing that he's been teaching is that in 1994, he says another harvest has begun. And that harvest will continue until May the 21st. That harvest will be harvested not by the church, but by organizations like Family Radio. And so you're to give your money to organizations like Family Radio that have no connection with the church and that they're bringing in the souls, according to Harold Camping. Then on May the 21st, Christ will come back for his people, and that will also mark the beginning of a great tribulation for 7.5 months. And then the end of the world actually will come October the 21st, 2011. Now, there have been men, godly men at times, and you go back to the days of the Puritans, that thought they'd figured out when Christ was coming. They were misled and were wrong. But in other areas, they were still orthodox. Mr. Camping is teaching things that really are heretical and are driving people out from the safety of being among God's people into the domain of the world, which would be like when Paul was dealing with someone and put them out of the church, he would give them over to Satan, and that was the way that he put them into the world, into Satan's domain. Well, Mr. Camping is actually doing that by his convoluted thinking, where he says that we are now in the church given over to Satan. Well, if the world is given over to Satan, according to Paul, and the church is given over to Satan, according to Mr. Camping, then there's no place left. And obviously the church is not given over to Satan. That is not the Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church. He also has developed in the last few years some other weird ideas. He's borrowed some teachings from the cults in that he believes in annihilation, so that a soul that dies does not go to hell for all eternity, but is immediately burned up in hell at the judgment and never is alive for a second more. He also believes that Christ was crucified before the world began, that was the real crucifixion and the real atonement, and that what happened on the cross of Christ was just proof that Christ had already been crucified in eternity past. He also believes that if you have someone who is interested in salvation, you do not tell them to go to Christ. You tell them to go home, read their Bible, and call out to God for mercy. In the old days, he would have invited people to come to Christ, as the apostles did, and as our Lord did. But in the present age, he is not doing that. He feels that is a heresy in one of the high places in the church that needs to be removed. That is the invitation for people to come and embrace Christ as Lord and Savior. So these are some pretty serious errors, apart from the very day that he says he knows the day and the hour Christ is coming.
Well, my guest today on His People is Dr. Mark Allison. He pastors the Free Presbyterian Church of Malvern, Pennsylvania, and he's spoken widely on the subject of Harold Camping and Family Radio. He's preached a number of sermons on the subject, and as you heard him say, on the front of the Family Radio website, it says Judgment Day, May 21st, 2011. Now, it goes without saying, Dr. Allison, that a number of years ago, that Harold Camping was considered widely in the church as orthodox, biblical, even reformed in his teaching, right?
Yes, that's true. And even then, he might have had some strange ideas. I think he held to a soul sleep for the ungodly, that if when someone died, they would be asleep and then awaken at the day of judgment and finally put into hell for all eternity. But apart from minor issues that were strange, he pretty much was orthodox in other views. In fact, his Family Radio had in their doctrinal statement that they were there to try to help the local church grow and reach the world for Christ. Now his attempt is to destroy every church in America, every church actually in the world, to tear it down and to drive people out of the church. So he's done quite an about-face from where he was even back in the 1980s.
Well, in any sense, and maybe this goes beyond the scope of this conversation, but what happened?
In talking to those who work with him, they feel that it was the 1994 prediction. If your audience is not familiar with 1994, he actually wrote a several hundred page book predicting that Christ would come back in 1994. So he's not let go of the work that he did. He still believes that that work was right, just that the event was wrong. And so the event in 1994 was the beginning of the great harvest, he's now saying, and the return of Christ now is 2011. And it's ever since 1994, his teachings have become, if I might say, weirder and more unorthodox since that date, when he predicted 1994 and has begun to spiral, as it were, out of control in what he's teaching and what he's saying.
So his explanation then, when 1994 wasn't the year of Christ's return, was that the date was right, but something else happened.
Yeah, it's very similar to what the Seventh-day Adventists did. Miller was a Baptist minister, lay preacher, and predicting the end of the world and Christ's return in 1844. When that didn't happen, Miller, contrary to Camping, Miller actually repented and admitted he was wrong. But the followers of Miller did not repent, and their conclusion was Christ did come, but he didn't come to the earthly temple to cleanse it, as Daniel predicted, but he went into the heavenly temple and cleansed it. And that began what we now know as the Seventh-day Adventists. Three groups came together, and one of them were the followers of Miller, and they didn't listen to Miller's rejection. So they said that the date was right, the calendar was right, it was just the wrong event. And in a very similar sense, Camping has done the same thing. He has said that you can trust most of what's in the book 1994. It's just that it's not pointing to Christ's return. It was pointing to the beginning of this last great harvest. Then he set the date for May the 21st, 2011. Now, when he wrote 1994, he said that there was some possibility he may be wrong and that 2011 might be the date. Now he's saying there's no possibility he's wrong, that he's absolutely 100% certain that May the 21st is the date the Christ is coming.
And I've read about it myself, Dr. Allison, in terms of how he gets the May 21st, 2011. On the homepage, it says the Bible guarantees that date. I don't know if it's even possible to go through it on the radio, but can you give us some sort of a sense of how he took that date out of the Bible?
Well, that's not so easy to do, given the complexity of his thinking. He actually has series of periods that he has for the world and history. He has a what he calls the righteous reign, R-A-I-N, where there's a harvest, as it were, where the Old Testament era of national Israel comes all the way to the time of Christ. And then there is what is called a time of spiritual famine for 3.5 years, which is Christ's ministry. So that is almost what we would call the first harvest. And then he has the early reign, which begins with the church age, and starting at Pentecost, which he numbers at 33 A.D., and that harvest takes you all the way up to 1988. Now, he's using his own views on typology. He's taking numbers from different realms and putting them together in ways that are utterly bizarre. For instance, if you were reading 1994, he would talk about that there was 2,000 cubits between the people and the ark as it went over the Jordan there in the book of Joshua. That 2,000 cubits is indicative of 2,000 years. There is no such thing in Scripture. I mean, that's lunacy to try to say that 2,000 cubits between the people of God and the ark represents 2,000 years of church history. And yet, that is the kind of reasoning that he uses to establish his dates. Well, after 1988, then he says that there is another period of spiritual famine, 6.3 years, and that takes you to 1994. And then 1994 begins the great harvest that will continue on for 16.9 years, which takes you to 2011. Now, all of these things are calculated out by using some of the, as I said, the typology and really a twisting of typology of the Old Testament and the dates. You know that his dates are wrong, not merely because he's twisting typology, but even when it came to the date of Christ's birth and death, he has Christ dying at the age of 40. He says that Christ was born in B.C. 7 B.C., and that he died and was raised from the dead, and Pentecost happened in 33 A.D. That means he was 40 years old when he died. And yet we know from the scripture itself that the ministry of Christ began when he was about 30, according to Luke chapter 3. And so we have scriptural authority for how old Christ was when he began his ministry. Even Mr. Camping says the ministry was only 3.5 years old. So if Mr. Camping can't get something right, as simple as the time period of Christ's life, then why would we trust him for giving us a date that we know our Lord has said no man can know the day or the hour? If he can't even get the lifespan of our Lord right, then we don't trust him for the return of Christ either.
Well, and you reference that scripture, the words of Jesus himself, right? That no one knows the day or the hour, only our Father in heaven?
Yeah, Matthew chapter 24:36 says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven." And then you go down to verse 42, and he says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." And then again, verse 44, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." And then again in verse 50, speaking of a parable, he says, "The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of." So you have over and over and over again here at the end of Matthew 24, and then a few more statements in Matthew 25, saying that no man can know the day and the hour, and that we need to be ready for his coming at any moment. And for a man then to turn around and say, "Well, I know the day and the hour," well, your listening audience has to then make a choice. Either they're going to believe what Jesus Christ has said, or they're going to believe what Harold Camping is saying.
What does he say, though, Dr. Allison? I mean, he knows the Bible very well. He knows that verse. He must have a rationale for why that doesn't apply to what he's doing.
His idea is that in the last days, between the church age coming to a conclusion and the return of Christ, there will be a great increase of knowledge. He speaks of it as revelation, and that we are now given new revelation that others did not have. And so what he says is that during the church age, no one can know the day and the hour of Christ's coming. But since the church age is over, that it has now been revealed that Christ is coming May the 21st, 2011. Now, that is bizarre, because our Lord doesn't say anything about the end of the church age. In fact, he's talking about his coming when he says these very words that you can't know the day and the hour, and he tells people to be ready for his coming. There's no qualification put on that statement. And in effect, if Christ is coming May the 21st, and I know that he's coming May the 21st, I'm certainly not going to be looking for him to come today or tomorrow or the next day, which is what the scripture commands me to be ready for. Because I don't know the day and the hour, I am to be ready for his coming at any hour. And with Mr. Camping's teaching that he does know the day and the hour, he is actually countermanding not only what our Lord says, that no man can know the day and the hour, he's also going against the readiness that the church should have, supposing if Christ came January the 1st, 2011. Would the people of Harold Camping, his followers, be ready for that? No, because they think he's coming May the 21st. So he's not only going against the clear statement that you can't know the day and the hour, he's also going against those passages of the scripture that tell us to be ready for the Lord's return. And we have many passages, not only in the statements of our Lord, but also the apostles, such as in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5, which talk about us not knowing the time of his appearing.
In terms of church history, and obviously there have been predictions throughout church history of the return of Christ, or various ideas at the end of the first millennium and so on. Has anyone come up with this one before, May 21st, 2011?
Not that I'm aware of. Not that I'm aware of. Many of them did a great deal with the year 7000, where they took the usher's date for the beginning of the world, and then they would that would bring you to almost the time of Christ as being 4,000 years, 6,000 years. And then they would add another 2,000 years. So with usher's date, they would come to around the year 2000 and say that was the end of the world. But I don't know of anyone that picked the date that Camping did. He uses his own numbers, And as I said, if you cannot trust him in the lifespan of our Lord, which is easily proved, then his other numbers are suspect when it comes to other matters. When you come, for instance, to the Exodus out of Egypt, the Orthodox position for the Exodus out of Egypt would be around 1445 B.C. He's pretty close. He would say 1447. But when you go from that date further in the history or closer to the time period in which the apostles lived, his dates start shifting and changing. And, you know, there's no way of holding him to a rational standard, as it were, for numbers. I was listening to Mr. Camping a few years back, and he was teaching through the book of Acts. And as he came to the part where Paul had been arrested there at the temple, Luke says that he'd been out of the temple 12 days, Mr. Camping came to that and said, there you have it, 12 is the number of completion. The church age is complete because Paul has been out of the temple 12 days. Isn't it wonderful that every word teaches that the church age is over? Now, 12 is not the number of completion to begin with. 12 is the number of the people of God, as the tribes in the Old Testament as well as the apostles would indicate. But having said that, the book of the Acts is not teaching us the church age is over. The book of Acts is teaching the starting up churches and the building up of the church and the spread of the church. And he went on later to say that when you came to the breakup of the ship in Acts 27, where the apostle was on this ship and it was broken up and they had to take planks, as it were, and go to shore by the planks, Mr. Camping says the ship is the church, and the church is now broken up. And then he couples that together with John 21, and he says, here you have the apostle Peter jumping out of the ship. He wades to the shore, and when he gets to the shore, he then pulls the net in from the shore, and he says, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to jump out of the ship that's breaking up and pull the harvest, the fish, to shore. Now, this is his line of reasoning. And when you begin trying to argue with that kind of reasoning, it really borders on how do you interpret Scripture to begin with? What are your, seminarians would call your hermeneutics? What are your principles of interpretation? You're saying things that no reader would conclude, and yet Mr. Camping is now saying we've got this new revelation and we're seeing things that people have never seen before. Well, he's seeing things, but he's not seeing anything that was intended by the Holy Spirit for God's people to see in the Scripture.
So in terms of his principles of interpretation, Dr. Allison, his hermeneutic, you're saying it's basically comes from his own mind.
Yeah, it basically is coming from his own mind. You had a bad hermeneutic in the centuries after the apostles, where the church went into some allegorizing of Scripture, and the Roman Catholic Church still has this as part of their theology. But he makes that type of reasoning look good. His hermeneutic, when it comes to typology, is flawed. You do not prove doctrine from typology. If you have a type in the Old Testament, for instance, let's say we're dealing with the sacrifice of Christ, that sacrifice of Christ should be taught in the New Testament apart from the type. So if you're coming up with something in your typology in the Old Testament that is not taught in the New, then chances are you're wrong in your typology. It is the clear doctrinal teaching of the New Testament that gives us understanding as to the types of the Old Testament. And Mr. Camping is coming up with doctrine out of typology where it's nowhere taught in Scripture. Now, when you come to the book of the Acts, I would challenge him as to whether there's any typology at all in the New Testament. The typology of the Old Testament was fulfilled in the ministry of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the salvation that Christ brought to pass. But to say that the life of the Apostle Paul coming out of the temple or being in a ship that was broken up is typology, I think that's utter nonsense. And if you allow that type of hermeneutic, principle of interpretation, to stand, then every cult in the world will be twisting Scripture and you won't be able to defend it.
You've been listening to His People on the Pilgrim Radio Network. Many thanks to today's guest, Dr. Mark Allison, pastor of Free Presbyterian Church in Malvern, Pennsylvania, And tomorrow it's part two of our discussion with him about Family Radio President Harold Camping's predictions of Christ's return in 2011. The Federal Reserve is sounding Scrooge-like in this story. A small-town bank in Oklahoma said the Federal Reserve won't let it keep religious signs and symbols on display. Federal Reserve examiners come every 4 years to make sure banks are complying with a long list of regulations. The examiners came to Perkins last week, and the team from Kansas City deemed a Bible verse of the day, crosses on the teller's counter, and buttons that say Merry Christmas, God with us, were inappropriate. The Bible verse of the day on the bank's internet site also had to be taken down. Amy Weirman, a Perkins resident, said, "I don't think there should be a problem with them displaying whatever religious symbols they want to display." Specifically, the feds believed the symbols violated the discouragement clause of Regulation B of the bank regulations. According to the clause, the use of words, symbols, models, and other forms of communication express, imply, or suggest a discriminatory preference or policy of exclusion. The feds interpret that to mean, for example, a Jew or Muslim or atheist may be offended and believe they may be discriminated against at this bank. It's an appearance of discrimination. But customers Eyewitness News 5 talked to said they aren't buying it. Bank customer Jim Niles said, "The whole thing is just ridiculous. We all have regulatory bodies that govern us, but this is too much." Another customer, Chelsea Holzer, said, "I think that's absurd. I don't agree with it at all. They are taking Christ out of Christmas and life." The bank is quietly fighting for a clearer interpretation of the clause. Officials have contacted their U.S. legislators and the Oklahoma Bankers Association to help. I hope you can join us again tomorrow at this same time for another edition of His People. Thanks for listening.